Welcome to the August 2008 issue of Gospel Gazette Online and another edition of A Word Between Friends. I'm thankful you have found Gospel Gazette Online, and I pray it will be a blessing to you and your spiritual development. I'd like to thank Lewis Rushmore for making this segment available to our listeners. Often, there is more than just a slight distinction between what God says and what men say. Let's take, for instance, the following example. The world says there are many ways a man may travel to ultimately see God, to arrive in heaven, to experience eternal life. In 2007, an organization called the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life conducted a U.S. religious landscape survey. This was a survey of more than 35,000 Americans. Let me read two or three sentences from a summary of the results of the study. And I quote, "Most Americans agree with the statement that many religions, not just their own, can lead to eternal life. Among those who are affiliated with a religious tradition, 7 in 10 say many religions can lead to eternal life." End quote. So, 70% of religious Americans do not believe that their religion is the only way to eternal life. There are those who applaud this current situation as an example of growing religious tolerance. Now, I ask, is it true there is no one exclusive way to eternal life? Is that what God says? Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what the apostles of Jesus Christ taught? Those men who were baptized in the Holy Spirit? In great contrast to the views and opinions of the majority, the Word of God clearly teaches there is only one avenue to the Father. God's messengers, the prophets, who lived during the Old Testament era, spoke and wrote, as well, of the days when God the Father would send His Son, Jesus of Nazareth, to lead men to the Heavenly Father. Following the healing of a lame man in the city of Jerusalem, Luke records an address Peter, an apostle, made in Acts chapter 3. Peter referred to Moses, the prophet and ancient lawgiver, and what he had said to the fathers of ancient times. Hear then the testimony of Moses, a man who was faithful as a servant in the Lord's house. Acts 3:22 beginning. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." God sent Jesus to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles, that is, the rest of humanity. The following day, when Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin, they were asked by what authority they had done those things. Peter replied in part, beginning in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." A couple of chapters earlier, Luke had recorded Peter's gospel sermon on the great Jewish feast day of Pentecost. Peter explained what they were witnessing and preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But God had raised him up. They were convicted in their hearts and asked Peter what they should do. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In this passage, we should observe there is an indispensable connection between Jesus Christ and the authority He holds, on the one hand, with the remission of sins and the reception of the gift of the Holy Spirit, on the other. You see, my friend, Satan has cast a stumbling block before each of us. The problem of sin is the roadblock you and I face that seeks to prevent us from going to the soul's eternal home. If you question this statement, investigate further by reading Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Additionally, you may study the context of John 8 and verse 21, where Jesus said unto them, John 8, 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Only Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, has the solution for man's sin problem. No other man, woman, or spiritual guru has the answer. Hear the Holy Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. In John 10 and verse 7, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. John 10 and verse 6, I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus also said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A moral code delivered by a magnificent spiritual leader is inadequate to save men from their sins and give them access to God, heaven, and eternal life. If such were the case, then the law of Moses would have served that purpose. God has given us a new covenant, the gospel, and Jesus Christ and His blood to save us from sin and death. Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by Gospel Gazette, and may God bless you with a wonderful day.